And it's very fitting that we're here today talking about Psalm 51. So if you want to open your Bibles to Psalm 51, we're in the second book of the Psalms. Psalm 51, as many of you know, is a very deeply personal psalm. And it's reflecting, it's a psalm of David. It's reflecting the aftermath of one of David's worst sins. Maybe it's David's worst sin. He had a lot of sins, as we all do, but this is one of his worst sins when he took Bathsheba and he got her pregnant and he took her as his wife and she was already someone else's wife. There's so many no-nos in all of that, right? And so if that wasn't bad enough, he has Uriah, the husband, killed in battle. So what happens? The prophet Nathan comes to David and rebukes him in the Lord, rightly rebukes him. And it's all recorded, and we're not going to turn there, but it's in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, if you want to go there later on and take a look at that story, that famous story there. But we see in Psalm 51, we see David recognize, really acknowledge his sin, what he has done wrong. And what does he do in Psalm 51? We're going to see that he takes ownership of that sin. He asks God to restore him. And at the end of the psalm, he is proclaiming God. He's proclaiming God's mercy, which is immense. We talk about his mercy at this time of the year, his mercy, his goodness. And he's talking about it to others. It's a testimony of where God has brought David, brought him through, and what he's brought him through and where he's brought him. And he's proclaiming God to other people. It's a true story of repentance, restoration, and it's a lesson for us today. We could take this psalm and we can see how when we sin, and we all sin, we need to truly repent, like David repented. We need to allow God and know and believe that God will restore us and redeem us in our lives, and we need to be a testimony to other people. It's all about what God has done for us, and we can share that, what he's done for us and what he's done in us. And it is very fitting that we're coming to Psalm 51 on this Shabbat, which is Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of return, the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a heightened time of just introspection. And as we read Psalm 51, it's the perfect psalm for that. So let's begin here. And we first have to begin with the understanding, and I know a lot of us know this, it's like preaching to the choir, but what is sin? The world may have its opinion about what sin is, but what does the Bible say what sin is? Sin is simply, breaking it down, it's separation from God. It's separating ourselves willfully from God and his ways. It's choosing to do something another way. So it's choosing to do something either our way or another person's way or the world's way instead of doing it God's way. That's the best and easiest and simplest way to say it. And the Bible is very clear to us about sin. If you turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it's very clear scripturally that we all sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is holy. Holy means set apart. And God's glory shines. And really what that means is God is perfect. God never sins. But you and I are imperfect, and we sin. So we have fallen short of the standard of the glory of God, and we've fallen short of that connection with God. We're reminded of this each time we come to this season, and we're coming to Yom Kippur in a couple of days, in a few days. And during Yom Kippur, we famously recite the Al Chet, which means for the sin that we have committed. And I mentioned this, I think it was during Rosh Hashanah, or maybe it was last Shabbat, that there's a laundry list of sins that we have all committed. And you may be able to say, well, I didn't commit that sin, and I didn't commit that sin. But there's probably the majority of those sins that you and I have committed in this past year. So when we say the Al Chet, we are reminded that we all sin. No one is exempt from this. No one can say, I have not sinned. So with that, let's begin Psalm 51. How did David handle that sin, that separation from God, when he sinned greatly before the Lord? Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your chesed, your steadfast love. according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Now, there's a lot right there. You can hear David's heart. You can see where David was as a person. He wasn't in a great place, as they say. He was in a really awful place in his life. He had fallen so far from the glory of God, from the being with God. And he's pouring out his heart. He knows that God sees all. And he's falling down before the Lord and begging him for mercy. Now, in verse 2, he says, to wash me from my sins. The Hebrew word for wash is kavas. And it's the same Hebrew word used, this is interesting, always these connections here, in Torah, when Leviticus, and you could turn to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 8, it talks about it over and over. This is where someone has sara'at. Sara'at is this skin disease, sometimes translated as leprosy, although it's not leprosy. And when you needed to be washed from the tzara'at, this is the same Hebrew word they use. Leviticus 14:8. And he who is to be cleansed shall wash, shall kavas his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. After that he may come into the camp, but live outside his tent 7 days. So when you had tzara'at, you had to remove yourself, you had to do all of these things, and you were physically separated from God, because remember, God dwelled within Israel. There had to be a standard of holiness, of cleanliness, of both physically and spiritually. Now, in my Bible, in the subtext of this section of scripture, you may have the same thing. The subheading is Laws for Cleansing Lepers. And again, they translate this as leprosy, but it's really not leprosy. This was not just a physical illness. When you got sara'at, the Bible tells us it was a spiritual illness. It was a spiritual separation from God. And that same Hebrew word kavas that's used to describe being cleansed from sara'at, David uses to say, Lord, cleanse me from my sin. It's like a spiritual skin disease. It's a spiritual disease. That's what sin is. It's also used in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. We also used it, it was in the Haftarah and Hosea today. But in Jeremiah 4, 14, it says this, talking about Israel. O Jerusalem, wash your heart, kavas your heart from evil, that you may be saved. How long shall your wicked thoughts lodge within you? So you could see that David was just like Israel at this point in Jeremiah. He was just like the person with the illness, the tzara'at in the Torah. He was separated spiritually from God because of his sin. Now, he continues in Psalm 51. He's using this imagery to show his spiritual sin and separation from God. He asks God to purge him from the sin. And interestingly enough, he says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop. And that's not coincidental. Hyssop is used throughout scripture. One of the times it's used, if you remember, is in Exodus. You took the hyssop because it stuck very much to the substance that it's put on. You took the hyssop and you dipped it in the blood of the Passover lamb that you killed. And you put the hyssop on the door frames of your house. And that hyssop is what was used to put the blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death passes over. So that the firstborn of each family of the Israelites, or whoever put it on, would not die. So it kept them from death. So David is saying, cleanse me or purge me with hyssop as well, so that I can be restored to you. Yes, I sinned, Lord, but put away but I'm putting my sins away from me. And in verse 3, he says, my sin that I want you to cleanse with hyssop is ever before me. The Hebrew word is neged there. And it also means, it means in front of. So he's recognizing his sin and his separation from God. And he's saying, Lord, please neged my sins. Please separate my sins from me. Please put my sins in front of me. Jewish commentary talks about this, the way that the Hebrew is used here, meaning he's separating himself. He's putting a distance from himself and the sins. He's saying, I did sin, but I'm putting my sins over there and I'm walking over here. I'm separating myself from them. And he also says in verse 3 that I acknowledge my sin. And the Hebrew word, last word here we're going to go through, I know there's a lot we could cover, but in verse 3, the Hebrew word for I acknowledge my sin is none other than yada. And we keep talking about this word. It keeps popping up in the Psalms, yada. And it's used also throughout Scripture. And it means to know or to acknowledge, but it also means personally to know. So what David is saying is, I have a personal ownership of my sins. They're not just things that I did. Well, I just sinned. No, I'm acknowledging it. I'm personally taking ownership of my sins. That's what he's saying when he's using the word yada. I take responsibility for my sins. You know, it's very easy for us to justify our sins. To say, well, you know, I sinned, but whatever. I sinned, but there was just a lot going on in my life at the time. You have to understand, God. We all fall short, right? Have you ever justified your sins like that? Yes, I sinned, but the other person involved, they were more wrong than me. They really sinned. I mean, I could really look. There's like planks upon planks. I may have a little splinter, but they're the ones that really sinned, God. David is not saying this. What he's saying was, I'm the one with the planks. I own it. I own all of it. He wasn't just saying he was sorry because he got caught. You ever done that before? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, just to get out of it so you can go back to doing whatever it is you were doing. David wasn't like that. He was saying, I'm sorry, I'm truly sorry that I broke fellowship with you. I acknowledge my sin, I own my sin, it's mine. So the word yada is so personal. The word is also used in the book of Exodus. Turn to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, and you'll see that God uses this word to describe him knowing in a personal way. And in this case, it's when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God personally heard them. It's almost as if he personally felt their pain. Exodus 2:23, during these many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God, yada, God saw the people of Israel, and God, yada, God knew. It's almost as if he felt it. He understood it in a deep way. That's how great David felt his sin and how he owned that sin. Now let's move on to the second part of the psalm. We'll continue with Psalm 51, and we'll pick up with verse 8. David continues, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. So he's acknowledging his sin in the first part. And now he's saying, restore me, God. Restore to me joy. Let me hear joy and gladness, he says. Don't take your spirit, which is your Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And he's saying, restore me. Restore here in the Hebrew, the word is suv. And it means to turn back or to return. It's the root word for the word teshuvah, or suv and teshuvah. It's the same word used in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. Suv, that you might comfort me. God's anger at this time has been turned away, which is another way of saying he's no longer angry. That separation where we broke fellowship with God and we made him angry because he can't be with sin, that is gone. Later on, the prophet Isaiah describes those who have had that anger of God removed from them, those who have been redeemed by God. He says later on in Isaiah 35:10, he says they'll be having joy. They'll be singing and being glad. The same thing David asks for in Psalm 51. When they suv, when they return. Again, that we see this word here. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall suv, shall return. And they will come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. David wanted that in Psalm 51. He wanted that sorrow, that deep pain that he felt, to be removed so that he could have the joy of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, so he could be redeemed. He says in verse 10 of Psalm 51, pleading with God to renew a right spirit in him. He wants to be made new. Now, you and I have the advantage 3,000 years later after David wrote this. 3,000 years later, we have the fullest understanding of what God was doing through the Tanakh, which is to bring forth the one who can renew us, the Mashiach, who came 2,000 years ago. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read this about Mashiach Yeshua, who came. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Messiah reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So there's a couple of things going on. We're being renewed through Messiah Yeshua, like David asked to be renewed. But also at the end of this verse 18, I want you to catch this here, because this brings us right into the last part of Psalm 51. This is from God, who through Messiah reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is extremely important because this leads us into the last part of Psalm 51. Verse 13, we begin, and we'll read the rest of the psalm this morning. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. There's way too much to talk about in there, and we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to hit on a couple of things here. Once we have come to God and owned our sin, and asked for forgiveness, and been renewed, fully renewed in Mashiach, the last piece, and Psalm 51 talks about it, is we need to live out our testimony and tell others. This is what David said, I will do this. I will go and I will speak to others about it. So, verse 13, he says, I will teach transgressors your ways. I have been rehabilitated, Lord, and now I'm going to help others. I'm going to help others who were in this position that I was in. And verse 15 says, Adonai Tsefatai Ufi Yagi Tehilatecha. You may recognize that because we say it every single week. It's the opening line for the prayer. The prayer that is said at the height of the service when we are said to be in the Holy of Holies with God directly, the Amidah, the Shemona Esrei. And at that point, we say, Lord, you will open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Pretty much like 85% of our prayer book, the Siddur, is scripture. And this is a great example. Psalm 51, verse 15, we say it every single week. You and I say Psalm 51. It's on our lips as we come and we worship God every Shabbat. And every day, if you say the prayers every day, it's there. The opening line of the Amidah. You and I, once we've been redeemed, we can come into the synagogue every day, every week, every Shabbat, during the high holidays, whenever, and we can have the confidence that God has redeemed us from our sins, and now we can open our lips, as David said in Psalm 51, and declare him in the midst of the congregation. We can declare him when we go out to other people. We can live this out in our lives. This should be our prayer. We're redeemed and now we're praising him. Psalm 66, verses 16 to 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Do you and I believe every single day that God has attended to the voice of our prayer? We need to believe that. Verse 20, blessed be God because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. This is such a blessing. This is such a confidence that you and I can have that he has not removed his chesed, his steadfast love from us. This should be our prayer to God. Now, there's one more scripture and one more story that I want to tell here, and it's in the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament, and it's a story about Yeshua healing a man. And this is a man who needed a lot of healing. He had a demon in him. Actually, he had several demons in him because his name was Legion, if you remember. Many demons, if you know the story. Yeshua heals him, casts out the demons. And listen to what Yeshua says to him. Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Yeshua says this to him who has been redeemed. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Yeshua had done for him. You and I have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry to live our lives as redeemed people. And if we do that, we will be declaring just by the sake of just walking around, smiling, and living, that we are a testimony to God. So Psalm 51 is this formula, I believe, for you and I. When we sin, and we all sin, don't run from your sin. Don't hide from your sin. Don't blame other people for your sin, but own it. Come to God and ask for forgiveness, and God will redeem us, and God will forgive. And when we come asking for forgiveness, we have to believe it, and we'll be restored in Yeshua, the Messiah. But then we have an obligation to not just hide it, right? To not just say, oh, thank you, God, now I can go live my life. We have an obligation to live it out, to walk this out day by day. I'm not saying we need to go on street corners and proclaim it. I'm saying it's lifestyle evangelism. It's where people come up to you and say, how come you're so happy? Don't you know what's going on in the world? Weren't you on Instagram today? Didn't you watch the news? Didn't you see what was on TikTok? I don't know. Whatever. However you get your information, it's not good out there. Okay? Whatever you want to believe, it's not good out there. It's very dark out there. But we, and the liturgy plays this out, and the Bible talks about this, we are the light because he is the light and he is in us. So we need to live our lives proclaiming him with just our everyday living. And when we do that, we will be fulfilling what God has for us. We will be fulfilling the words of Psalm 51, and we will be fulfilling our role as followers of Yeshua. Let's just pray before we close. Lord, God of Israel, I want to thank you, God, for this wonderful psalm. It's ministered to me so much over the years, and I pray that it ministers to people even today. Lord, even in the depths of our sin, even when we just feel like we're irredeemable, we come upon this psalm and David, and it really felt like and seemed like David was irredeemable, terrible things he did. But Lord, even then, Your hand is not too short to reach us. Your arm is not too short to reach us, Lord. And you do ransom and redeem us. And Lord, we're thankful for forgiveness through Yeshua and his blood. We're thankful coming into Yom Kippur, where we have that atonement, that personal atonement for each and every one of us, that corporate atonement for all of us. And we're thankful, Lord God, that you're with us and you give us your word to teach us, to guide us as we go through this season and every season in our lives. So we thank you, God. We praise you and we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen.